You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter 1. Hallelujah. Got something stirring in me I want to get out. I have to. I'm going to get it in me. I've got to get it out. I just got to, you know. Now, you know, I preach by inspiration. I preach by out of the overflow. I preach what's stirring inside of me, what's burning in me. And don't get me wrong, I study all the time. I do my homework, you know, and I dig apart the Word and take Scripture apart and chew on it and meditate on it, analyze it, spiritually speaking, pray about it, and so on and so forth. But then when it comes to the service, I want to hear the Lord. I want to know what the Lord wants me to minister on. Sometimes I know ahead of time. Sometimes I know I'm going to be ministering on something for a few weeks even. Sometimes I don't know for sure till I get there. That's okay. I don't care. You know, I'm ready. Just give me the pulpit, hand me a Bible, get out of my way. This train is coming through. You can get on, but if you don't get on, get off the track because I'm going to run over you. I'm coming. No, I mean, I'm called. I'm anointed. I know that. And this is where I flourish. This is where I blossom. It's when I step into this arena of teaching and preaching. It's my gift. So I haven't said that. I've had this stirring in me, and it kind of ties in a little bit what we've been teaching on, but nonetheless, here we go. You ready?
Amen.
Isaiah 1, verse 18. Notice what it says, come now, let us reason together. Everybody say, let us.
Let us.
Okay, see, this is where we miss it. There's nothing wrong with reasoning, as long as you're reasoning with the Lord. Where we miss it is where we try to reason without the Lord. If you try to reason your situation without the Lord, and you try to reason it out, and you try to think it out, and think it through without the Lord, you're always going to mess up. You're always going to mess up. It'll never seem like it can happen. You'll never see daylight. You'll never see the answer. You'll never have any hope. You'll never have any victory. Because you are limited, and I am limited. If we're going to go by ourselves our own way and think this thing through, well, the things of God, they are impossible with men. With men, but not with God. Amen? So he says, come now, let us reason together. There's nothing wrong with thinking. I think we ought to think. We ought to reason. But you don't reason without the Scripture. You don't reason without God. You don't reason without prayer. You don't reason without coming to Him. Because if you haven't found out what He has to say, there's no way you can make a good judgment. You can't even make a good decision because you don't have all the facts. You may have some facts, but you don't have all the facts. You may have some truth, but you don't have all the truth. And if you want the whole truth, nothing but the truth, you're going to have to get to Jesus with it. Because the truth is, He is a healing God. The truth is, you can be healed. The truth is, you can get your miracle. The truth is, you can get through this impossible situation. Without Him, no way. But see, you've left Him out. You've left your hope out. You've left the ultimate fact out, which is God and His Word. Amen. If you're trying to reason and think things through without Him, then you are not... You're not playing with a full deck.
Right. Amen.
You're making a judgment before you get all the facts. If you've left out the ultimate fact, if you hadn't got God's word, if you don't have God's word on the matter, then you're trying to make a decision on very limited information. You're determining your destiny. You're thinking about how your life's going to turn out without God's word. Well, it won't work that way. Your marriage without God's word won't work that way.
Amen.
Because you don't have the whole truth. Well, I know this, and I know that, and I know that. Yeah, and you don't know what God says. And if you don't know what God says, you've left out the ultimate truth.
Amen.
That's why God says, come now. I mean, y'all pulling your hair out and doing everything else. Come on over here and talk with me. Come, let us reason together. See, God's not against logic, and He's not against reasoning. But He's very much against reasoning and logic that leaves Him out. That's against the knowledge of God. See, 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, cast down imagination, and every high thing exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. He didn't say cast imaginations, incidentally, in King James there where it says imaginations, that's logissimo, or logic, or reasoning, or arguments. So he's saying cast down arguments, reasoning, and logic that's against the knowledge of God. He didn't say cast down logic and reasoning, period. He just said cast down the kind of logic and reasoning that's against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. He didn't say don't think. He said think But think in line with Christ. Think in line with the Word.
Amen.
And reject thoughts that are against God, that are in line with Christ.
Amen.
See? Amen? For the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And he's not talking about prayer there. He's actually talking about your thought life. You know, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It's not carnal thinking. It's not carnal thoughts. No, no, no. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, God's Word, to the pulling down of strongholds in your mind that keep you from progressing, that keep you from getting an answer to your prayer, that keep you from believing. Thoughts that stop you. Oh, I'm not worthy. Oh, I can't have this. Oh, God's not going to do that. You need to root that thought out and cast it down. Because that's against the knowledge of God. God doesn't say that. And that's a stronghold. You can't fight an enemy that's got a stronghold in your mind.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
Now listen to what I said there. You cannot fight an enemy that has a stronghold in your mind. You've got to get that stronghold out of your mind if you're going to fight and win.
Right.
And of course that comes from renewing your mind with the Word of God, getting in the Word of God, coming and reasoning with the Lord. That's why the Bible says in Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You want to know the will of God? You want to prove it in your life? Well, transform yourself. How? By renewing your mind. What do you mean? Put something in there that wasn't in there before. God's Word.
Amen.
Don't be conformed to this world. Be you transformed. Well, how do I keep from being conformed to the world? I renew my mind with the Word of God.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then I start proving the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God.
Amen.
All of a sudden, I start seeing victory. I start seeing answers. I start seeing hope. I start seeing God moving in my life again. Whereas before I couldn't, I had no hope. Whereas before I had no victory. Now, hallelujah,
yep.
I know what I did not know.
Amen.
Now I know what I didn't know. See? Back then I didn't know, but now I know. I know I can make it. I know I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. I know greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Praise
Amen.
God. I know that if God is for me, who can be against me? Hallelujah.
Amen.
I didn't used to know that, but see, now I know that because I've renewed my mind and now I am proving the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. I've cast down those imaginations, logics, and reasonings and arguments that were against God. I brought into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Hallelujah. And the devil doesn't have a stronghold in my mind anymore.
Come on.
I'm thinking. I hadn't stopped thinking. I'm just thinking a lot clearer now.
Yeah.
Amen.
God doesn't want you to stop thinking. He just wants you to start thinking clearly.
Yeah.
With the right information. So that's what he's saying here. He says, come now, let us reason together. Now here he states makes a statement that really is impossible in the natural, but with him it's not. Come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow.
Yeah.
Well, how in the world could I wipe out my past and start over again? How could I be brand new and washed clean? How could I be in right standing with God all that I've done in my life? Oh, come now, let us reason together. Get it? You can't do it without me, but if you'll come over here and let's talk about this thing, I'll show you how.
Yeah.
I can do what you can't do. Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be like scarlet, though you have done everything wrong in your life, though you had no hope, though you had no future, though everybody said you couldn't make it, come over here. Listen, talk to me. I want to help you here. Hallelujah. I can wash you clean. I can make those scarlet sins go away, and I can make you white as snow.
Hallelujah. Glory.
I can do what you can't do.
Amen.
But if you don't come to me, you'll never get it. You'll never see it. You'll have no hope. You'll be without hope and without God.
That's right.
But with God, you got hope.
Yeah.
Amen. See the importance of getting at His feet and coming to Him. It opens up your mind for one thing, because your mind is so blocked off and it's got so many cobwebs in it and so many strongholds in it the devil has. You've got to clean it out and clear it out.
Uh-huh.
Some people accuse us of brainwashing people. I'll take that rap. I think our brains are so filthy they need to be cleaned. But now if you mean by that telling people what to think without them using their will, no, we don't do that. You use your will. You go study these things out. I say this all the time. You go check it out in the Bible and find out if it's the case.
Amen.
Amen. Don't believe it because I said it. You believe it because the Word says it. But in the process, you're going to get your brain washed. Because your brain's dirty. Amen. Make sense? So I'll take that rap. That's okay. But I mean, if they mean we're just taking away your will, no, we're giving you back your will. If you want to know the truth, the devil stole your will. And you're in captivity to him and his will and to the world and to sin, to the flesh, and you rule by your body till you get a hold of the Word. And then you start finding out, hey, I don't have to be a slave anymore. The chains really start falling off when you hear the truth. Jesus said, you know the truth, and the truth will make you free. He didn't say bind you up. It'll free you up. I'm a free man. I used to be bound. Now I'm free. I used to be a slave, but now I'm a born-again believer, washed in the blood, new creature in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Got God flowing through me now. Hallelujah. Working through me now. And you know, and I'm fellowshipping with Him. I put Him in the equation when I begin to make a decision. I don't X Him out. I mean, I come to Him and reason with Him and His Word. And the things that were impossible before, now they're possible. Though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. An impossible thing. But see, come over here and I'll show you how we can do this thing. That's what God's saying. You may think you can't make it, see, and you're not going to get through this situation, whatever the crisis is. But if you'll come over here and reason with God, God will do what you can't do. God will show you how it can be done. God will put hope in you. He'll put victory in you. But you're going to have to come over here. You're going to have to reason with Him. You're going to have to go over and over and over what He says. You're going to have to meditate on what He says.
Amen.
Come on. Can you say amen? Amen. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. That's all God's asking us to do. Just come on. Just obey. Just come on. Just be willing to accept God's Word and what God has to say and what God has to offer. And if you'll accept it, you will eat the good of the land.
Hallelujah.
There's nothing in here bad for you. It's all good.
Amen.
It's all good. And if you'll come, God will make your life better. You'll start thinking more clearly. If you'll start reasoning with the Lord, you'll start planning your future with the Lord. You'll start deciding about tomorrow with the Lord.
Amen.
You'll reason with Him. You'll eat the good of the land. The impossible will become possible.
Amen.
But where we get in trouble is when we leave Him out. What am I going to do? Wring my hands, walk, pace the floor. Oh, you don't know what I just heard. This happened and that. I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, listen, you need to stop. Quit trying to think that thing through without Jesus and get over here, get in His Word and see what He says about it. Amen. And then reason with Him. And then you start talking about your future.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. Ooh. Turn with me to Mark 2nd chapter. Hallelujah. Mark 2. Here's a case. In fact, we may stay in Mark a little bit here. Yeah, I may go to some other scriptures in Mark. Mark the 2nd chapter. This is a real familiar event. This is when the man born of four was taken up to the roof. They took the roof off, let him down through the roof. You know, he was sick of the palsy, paralytic. And he had four friends that took him up to the roof and let him down through the roof. Well, Jesus was in this house. It was so full they couldn't get in the house. That's why they did that. And when they let him down through the roof, the Bible says, fifth verse, when Jesus saw their faith, everybody say, saw their faith.
Saw their faith.
Okay, that's very important. Your body communicates volumes. I mean, we say sometimes I'm believing, but our face betrays us. Hello. And our body betrays us. I mean, they're just slumping the shoulders, looking down, shaking the head. Hello. We're believing God. We're just trusting Jesus. Well, you're not. Okay? I'm sorry. I know what you said, but you see, you don't believe that. Because if you believe that, you'd act differently. You'd start, you know what? We're believing God. I can see people that are in crisis, and I can sense the pain they're going through, and you can sense the pain they're going through, but there's a fire in their eyes when they're believing God.
Amen.
And I know they're hurting, and I understand that. I've been hurt myself. I've hurt myself. I've been shocked myself with the report. But I'll tell you what, there's something about faith. There's something about, there's a look, there's a termination, you know. And I know you can't control every facial feature, but I'll tell you, there's just something about somebody that believes God that comes out when they say it. I hear it in a voice. I can see it in the eyes. You know what I'm talking about? You know, there's a focus. There's a determination there. And we've got to get serious about this. This is serious business, believing God. It really is. It's not a game we're playing here. It's not a lotto. You know, we're believing God. Well, Jesus saw something. He saw some determination here. Just unwillingness to quit. No, not going to give up. They're going to get their miracle if they have to take the roof off, and they did. And they let him down through. He saw them. Yeah. We have got to get him to Jesus. Whatever it takes, we're going to get him to Jesus. And Jesus saw their faith. Mm-hmm. There was something recognizable about that, yeah. See? And it was that determination. And he said, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Fifth verse. Sixth verse, and some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Hello.
Yeah.
Now this word heart here really, better translation would be minds, in their minds. They're reasoning in their minds. Oh, they started thinking about it. Not with God. Not with God's word. They just did it in their own minds and amongst themselves. God didn't say, y'all go reason amongst yourselves. He said, come let us reason together. And see, this is their first mistake. They reasoned in their own minds. Without God, without His Word, they questioned what Jesus said and did. You never question what Jesus says and does. That's taboo. You don't touch it. You don't go there. I was talking one time, one of my relatives, about a subject, and they said, well, you know, what about this? I said, well, look, I don't go there. They said, what do you mean? I said, well, the Bible says thus and so. It's not up for discussion. No amount of scenarios that you come up with is going to make me change my mind about this because God says this. You know, I can't justify not believing God. I can't justify, you know, opposing what God says. Some things are not up for discussion. Did you know that? Some things I won't even think about. I don't even go there because God said don't. He said this is the way it is, and that's the way it is. You will always get in trouble when you leave that. When you leave God's, when you know what God's word and you, says, and then you say, well, in this case, oh no, you're fixing to mess up. You mess up when you questioned it. God said be willing and obedient. He didn't say figure it out. He said, come let us reason together. If you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Are you with me? And that's true concerning holy living. That's true concerning sin. That's true concerning a miracle that you need. I think that's where we drop the balls. When God says something, we stand on His word, and then we start thinking about it. And then we start hearing all the other bad reports. Hello. And then we start feeling all the pain. And then we start wondering, well, maybe I'm not healed. Or maybe I won't get this miracle. Or maybe it's not going to happen this time. Are you with me?
Yeah.
No, don't go there. Don't you do that. You stop that. You stop that kind of reasoning, and you start believing God. You get back to the Word, back to the Scripture, discipline yourself, hang on there because you're going to mess up. We'll always mess up when we do that. So he says this, and some of the scribes, these were the educated people now. Something I've said many times. You can't be too dumb to get this, but you can be too smart. In fact, this is where you mess up is when you start getting too smart. When you start reasoning without God. And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts or minds, well, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? They question what Jesus did. Can't happen. Not true. Don't believe it. Sometimes we do that with God's Word. Can't happen. I don't believe that. Don't believe that can happen. We heard a tremendous testimony Sunday. Mike Turberville got healed. You know, some people would hear that and still not believe that. I don't believe that. Well, it's your choice. You don't have to believe. Doubt and do without. I'm going to believe and receive.
Amen.
I'm going to confess and possess. You go ahead. You doubt and do without. You can doubt and pout too. You say, I'm not going to do that. So it says here, why they question, they begin to speak, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit, now there's a difference between perceiving in your spirit and reasoning in your mind. This word perceive just means knowing in his spirit. You know, some things you just know in the spirit. You know it in your spirit. Some things I can't really figure it all out in my mind, but I know. I know in my spirit. I know that. I've been in God's Word long enough to know. I know some things. There's some things I just know. And there's no sense in trying to figure them out or trying to reason them out or try to refute or oppose them in my mind. I don't even go there. It's not even up for grabs. It's not an argument I even make. Not going to go there. Are you with me? So it says he perceived in his spirit. There's a lot of difference between reasoning your mind and perceiving your spirit. Jesus didn't go around reasoning in his mind. He just went around perceiving in his spirit. He went around going with what his spirit told him, what was in his spirit, what he knew to be true. He never questioned God. Never questioned God's word. He just obeyed it. He knew it was true. He obeyed it. He went with it. When you question God's word, that's where you always get in trouble. This is where they missed it. But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts or minds? In other words, not a good thing. Y'all shouldn't be doing that. God's presence is here. His power is here. I'm here, Jesus is saying. You need to receive. You need to just come, believe, be willing, obedient, and get it. Because all your thinking is going to stop you from getting what God has for you.
That's right.
Don't ever say why. You ever notice that's the first thing the devil hits you with when a crisis hits?
Yeah.
You want to go, why? Like Charlie Brown. Why is everybody always picking on me? Why did this happen to me? What have I done?
Uh-huh.
Well, you didn't, may not have done anything. You know, we live in a broken, fallen world. You know, there is a devil out there. I don't know if you know or not, but he didn't like you.
That's right.
And you know, he would love to destroy you. And we're not in heaven yet, so we have these challenges and these battles in this life. So when something bad happens, don't go that route. Don't go down that road. Just start believing God and standing on the Word. First of all, God hasn't got anything to do with it. He's not trying to do anything to you. He's not your enemy. He's not your problem. He's your answer.
Yes. Amen.
Run to Him. Well, why is God putting all us? Well, God's not putting it on you. Why is God doing? God's not doing that.
Come on.
Hello. Well, what's God trying to teach me? Nothing.
Nope.
Hello. Do you think I've just got some flaws in my character that he's trying to work out? Well, you may have some flaws in your character, but that's not how he works it out. Because if you're going to say something like that, then everybody that's ever gone through a lot of pain, sickness, and disease must be absolutely an emotional wreck in their character. They just can't seem to get it straight because God keeps putting it on them, doesn't he? No, come on. That won't even fly if you think it through.
Uh-huh.
I'll tell you, some of you are the worst characters, those Ethiopians starving over there. They must have some terrible character. God trying to work out in them starving all those kids. And you see how sick that is? That doesn't make any sense. That won't fly.
No.
I think, you know, all those lies the devil tells you and you try to reason in your mind. Well, how come there's all this evil in the world if there's such a good God? Well, if God's bad, how come there's such good in the world? You know, there's a lot of good in the world too. I mean, that kind of X's itself out, that kind of argument. And there are answers for those questions. God is good, and he's not the problem. There is a thing called sin that came into the world through Adam 6,000 years ago. And if anybody messed up, it was him, not God. And we have an enemy, it's the devil, not God. And we're not in heaven yet. And when we get to heaven, there will be none of this in heaven. You'll never go to another funeral in heaven. You can forget it. There's none up there. Nobody ever dies in heaven. In fact, you can forget going to the hospital. I'm sorry, there may be some doctors up there. They won't be practicing. There's no hospital to go to. Nobody ever gets sick. So there's God, and there's what God's will is. And we got a mess down here, and we can be the first to admit that. I mean, we got a mess, but it's not God's fault.
Amen.
So let's get some help. Let's go to God. Let's get some help. Let's reason with God. Let's get some healing. Let's get some peace. Let's get some joy. Let's get some miracles, some victory. Let's come to God. Don't stay out there away from God trying to figure it out. You can't. Come to God and receive what he has for you.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Amen. And so they're sitting there in their reasoning, missed their miracle, didn't get forgiveness. They probably needed healing too and didn't get it. because they wanted to question every healing they saw, and everybody got forgiven, they wanted to question it, and so on. And so they just missed out altogether. Armchair quarterbacks. Never played a game in their life, got the whole thing figured out. Are you with me? And missing out on everything. Well, it says, Jesus said, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easy. I love this. I'm not trying to teach on it. I got to watch myself because I'd like to just teach on that. Which is easier to say? Which is easier to say? How many of you believe you're forgiven?
Amen.
How many of you can say, I am forgiven?
Yeah.
Can you say that? No problem? Okay.
Yeah.
How many of you are healed?
Healed.
How many of you can say, I am healed?
I am healed.
Okay. Which is easier to say? It shouldn't be the same. It's just as easy to say, be forgiven, as it is, be healed.
Amen.
It should be just as easy to confess your sin and say, Father, I thank you that I'm forgiven, I receive forgiveness, as it is, lay hands on the sick or pray for healing yourself and say, Father, I thank you that I'm healed.
Exactly.
Who said it? Jesus said it. He said, which is easier to say? Meaning the question, the answer was either one. It didn't matter. Which is easier for God to do? Think about that. Is it easier for God to forgive your sins or heal your diseases? Just as easy to do one as it is the other.
Amen.
Which is easier to get? You say, well, I prayed for healing. I didn't get any. Well, now wait a minute. What you're talking about is some symptoms or some pain or whatever. Has anybody ever asked for forgiveness and struggle with it even after you ask for it? In fact, if you stop right now and think about, don't do it. But if you were to stop right now and think about some sin, horrendous sin that you committed in your life, and I don't want to know what it is. Okay, I don't want to know. But if you start thinking about it, you start feeling icky all over again, don't you? You start feeling like 500 pounds of sin on a popsicle stick all over again, and that symptom of that sin will come back on. You'll start feeling bad about it again. You'll start feeling condemned about it again. You'll start feeling worthless about it again. You know what? That's the devil. Because you repented of it, and God forgave you of it, but those symptoms are trying to get back on you of unforgiveness. And you have to push them back and say, no, I am forgiven. I confess that thing. God forgave me. That's in my past. That is not me. God doesn't hold that against me. And you got to stand against it.
Amen.
Well, now sickness is no different. It just has a physical feeling that's more evident sometimes than the forgiveness. And the symptoms try to hang on to us and hold on to us, and you got to stand against it and say, I'm healed. I don't care what that feels like. I don't care what my body's saying. I don't care what the doctor said. I'm standing on the Word of God. I'm not going there. No, sir. I'm coming over here with God's Word, and I'm reasoning with the Lord, and I am healed. And I say, I am healed.
Amen.
Well, that's just hard to do. Well, no, it's just as easy to say one as it is to say the other. Maybe the manifestation's taking a while. I don't understand all that. But you know, it's not my business anyway. My business is believe God.
That's right.
I'm just going to believe God. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe God. I'm not going to change what I say. I'm not going to change what I believe because God said I need to say the same thing. Amen?
Amen?
Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, arise up, take your bed and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, go to your house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, went out in the presence of them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this.
Amen.
Well, they sure didn't from those scribes. Because all they want to do is argue and debate about things. They never really obeyed God and just believed God. We have so much arguing and debating going on about what God does and whether he still heals instead of just standing up and preaching it. Mm-hmm. Oh, tongues, it's all passed away. Baptism, Holy Ghost, gifts of the Spirit. All the arguments about historically what took place. And I'll tell you what, that's just a bunch of junk anyway. I've studied that history. They never did pass away. There was always gifts of the Spirit. It has been for the last 2,000 years.
That's right.
Historical evidence of it, written by ministers and moves of God that have been going on for 2,000 years. It never passed away. Hello. But you know, besides all that, if you didn't have any of that, you got the Bible. The Bible hadn't changed. It's still there. It's in the Bible. So while everybody's debating, I'm over here just speaking in tongues and praising God and hallelujah. You know, thank God I got everything I needed from God before I found out what he could not do. There's a song that goes like this, you know. Thank God I got everything I needed from God before I found out what He could not do. He doesn't heal. Oh, it's too late. I already got healed.
Yeah.
Oh, God doesn't baptize the Holy Ghost. Oh, it's too late. I already got baptized the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I'm glad I found that out before, you know, I found out God doesn't do that anymore. Hallelujah. See, your mind will get you in trouble left to itself. But your mind is a wonderful thing if you bring it to God and lay it before His feet. Your mind just needs a little order, that's all. It needs a little direction, needs a little focus. That's all it needs. It's just like a garden in one sense. A garden is a terrible thing all by itself. But you put a gardener in there, it's pretty good. You start ordering around and getting rows going and getting certain things growing. But if you leave a garden to itself, you know what's going to happen? You're going to have weeds. You're going to have everything growing in there. Everything's going to be tangling up together, vines and thistles and thorns and hello. Uh-huh. And it's worthless. It's not good for anything. Mm-hmm. And that's the way we are without God. That's where our minds are without God. It's a tangled mess. What a wicked web we weave. When we all we do is live to deceive or something like that. I think it's wicked. But if you'll come to God and trust God and take Him at His word and quit trying to figure everything out. Why? Can you imagine going up on a car wreck? I think about this. Going up on a car wreck, somebody's laying over here on the side of the road moaning. Car's upside down over here, skid marks on a highway, and you get your tape measure out and you start measuring skid marks. And y'all, somebody else pulls up and gets out and says, "Wonder what happened? I don't know. A guy's laying over in a ditch over. What do you think happened?" "Well, I don't know. It looks like he was coming this way. And I think he must have, you know, there was a car coming here. And the guy's over, in, you know, don't you think that you ought to figure all that out later? Don't you think you ought to go help the guy first? Doesn't that seem like that'd be priority?" Well, why is it when a crisis hits in our life, we don't get help? We don't go to God. We sit there and try to figure that thing out. And somebody else hears about it, and you know what? Everybody else tries to figure it out. "Well, I wonder what sin they had in their life." "Well, I'll tell you what, somewhere down the road they're reaping what they're sowing. That's all I can say. Their sins found them out. God's caught up with them." You know, and you ought to be hitting your knees praying, "God, help them, heal them, set them free." You don't know that. You don't know they've even sinned at all. You know, there was a man born blind. The disciple said, "Lord, who sinned? This man or his parents?" You know, Jesus, basically what Jesus said, "Hey, hammerheads." I'm paraphrasing greatly. "Knuckle busters, this man hadn't sinned, his parents hadn't sinned, but don't you think we ought to heal him?"
Yeah,
"Oh, well, I guess so. Go ahead, Jesus, heal the man."
Yeah.
And He healed him.
Yeah, sure did. Wow.
Oh, no, think about it. I mean, that's what we want to figure everything out. Our mind is just geared that way.
Yeah.
Instead of just accept and believe, get our miracle. Sometimes you know you ain't sin. Now, if something's burning and you know you did wrong, repent of it. I'm not telling you not to repent if you know something. But don't sit there. No, come to God. If is any sick among you? Y'all get a council together. And let's figure out in a committee. And y'all figure out why first. And when you get the whole thing figured out, then y'all come to me. Maybe we'll pray about it and we'll see if we can heal them. No, it says, any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him. See? There might be some reasons you find out later. I don't know. Maybe you didn't take care of yourself. I don't know. Could be some reason. But you know, whatever the case, God is in the healing business. Let's get some healing. If God shows you something later, fine. That's wonderful. Make some corrections if you need to. That's fine. But it's not always something you did. Sometimes just the world we live in. But don't forget, God wants to heal you. God wants to do a miracle. And if you'll come, He will do the impossible. "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though you have an incurable disease, God will heal you." See, the impossible will become possible with God. In fact, that's what He says over in Mark 10. Actually, He's talking about salvation here, but the principle is still true. And He was talking about a rich man going to heaven, you know the story, and a rich man that trusts in his riches and not in God, he explained, it was harder for him to go through a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to go to heaven, that trusted in his riches. And Peter said, well, Lord, who can be saved then? Like, this is impossible. And you know what? It's true. Being saved is impossible. For us, on our own, without God. Hello? In other words, you couldn't buy your way there. No riches would get you there. And he goes on and says this, 29th verse, they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible. But not with God. For with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
Well, he's got a bad report, no hope, there's no way, not going to get out of this mess. Doctor gave us, a week, two to live, that's it, not going to make it. Whoa, that's with men. That's not with God. With God, all things are possible. Yeah, but it says this, said that. The report said this. He's got this, got this, got that. I think of Dodie, every time I think about those kind of situations. Doctor gave her 2 weeks to live. Metastatic cancer of the liver. 2 weeks, that's it, 2 weeks. She was 89 pounds, going to die in the natural. And the doctor had no hope, told Brother Osteen, take her home. Nothing we can do. Really, that's it. That was 1981, the latter part of 1981. And Brother Osteen said, well, doctor, we believe in miracles. I can see him now just bouncing. We believe in miracles. And the doctor says, well, Brother Osteen, you're going to need one. And Brother Osteen says, we're going to get one. And they got one. She's alive today. I just got a note from her a couple weeks ago. She wrote us a note. We're working on some things on television and so on and so forth, and contact her about some things about Brother Osteen. And she wrote a little note. She writes us a note every single month. We give, the church gives $200 a month to Joel Osteen Television Ministry. He's getting a lot of people saved, and we're thank God for the people he's reaching all around the world. So we've done that for years. And she writes a note every month. Every month. I've got stacks of them. Oh, beautiful Brenda and handsome Mike. I love that part. Now, she writes other things, but I remember that, And she handwrites it out. It's always something real personal, she'll put on there. Oh, love y'all, miss you. How you doing? Oh, I know you're doing great. Thanks for the gift. And anyway, she wrote a little bit longer note this last time about some things we were talking about. And I thought, wow, what a miracle. What a miracle of God that Dodie is. She's such a miracle. Such a loving woman. And healed. Now, this has been 26 years later. She didn't die in 2 weeks. She didn't die in 2 years. She didn't die in 20 years. She's still alive. Because she chose to believe God.
That's right.
She got a list of scriptures and started quoting them every day. Every day.
Amen.
She's still got that list. They're listed. In fact, they're in that book, Healed of Cancer. It's her testimony of being healed. I don't know how many of those books we've given away over the years. Just a tremendous book. But she chose to believe in the God of the impossible. What was impossible with men was possible with God if she would reason with God. And she did reason with God. She got his word out, and she quoted that word, and she said, that's the way my life's going to be. I am healed in the name of Jesus. He's the Lord that healeth me. He's the one that takes all my sickness away from me. By his stripes I am healed. Hallelujah. Over and over she'd quote those verses because she reasoned with the Lord about it. She had a doctor's report, but she went with God's report. And and here it says, with men it's impossible, with God all things are possible. Look at the 9th chapter of Mark. Notice what Jesus said in Mark 9, verse 23. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Not to him who figures it all out, not to him who reasons it out in his mind, but to him who believes. And if you connect those two verses, it's real simple. Obviously, if I believe, then I will be with God.
Yeah. Amen.
And with God, all things are possible.
Come on.
That's why he says, all things are possible to him that believeth, because all of a sudden, now I'm not alone. If I start believing, then I am with God. With men, it is impossible. With God, all things are possible. All things are possible to him that believeth. So believing hooks me up with God.
Yeah. Amen.
It puts me in His camp. Puts me with Him. And with Him, all things are possible.
Amen.
No hope of the natural, but see, I'm with God. I'm not with men. I'm with God because I believe.
Right. Amen.
Ooh, hallelujah.
That's good.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
And God, that's what, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 2. Y'all getting something out of this?
Amen.
I just want to challenge you. I want to stir you. Get your faith out there. Get your stretch your faith. Start believing God. Trusting God. And don't try to figure it all out. We're just too smart. Quit that. Stop that. Stop that. Hello. Stop trying to figure it out. No. You start believing God. You get the promise and you believe God. Yeah, but. No, yeah, but. Nothing. Yeah, but. No. Stop. Hold. Are you with me? Don't go there. You stay with the Word. Stay with the Word. Stay with the Word. Stay with the Word.
Man.
You stay focused. God said it. I believe it. It's settled already.
Amen.
It's settled when He said it. It's settled.
Sure.
But if I say it, it'll be settled for me.
Amen?
Amen. 1 Corinthians. Notice this. And I'll bring this close. I'll close it out. 1 Corinthians 2. And we went over this just the other day, this whole chapter, really, well, half this chapter. Notice what the 14th verse says. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. That's the natural way of thinking. That's natural logic and reasoning. That's all we know in the natural. If that's all we have, and we never make the shift or the break from that to spiritual information, spiritual knowledge, to God's Word, to believing, to faith. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. You know, doctors a lot of times shake their heads when we say we're believing God. Not all of them. Some of them are godly men and women. But some of them will just shake their heads because they've got all that information. They're the expert. They've got all the tests. They've got all the, run all the examinations and so on, and all the equipment, and all of the medical world standing behind them, and institutions of medical profession, and thank God for all that. We're not against that. But see, you know, that all is in the natural, and it has its place. And thank God for all that medicine has done and medical science has done. But, you know, that's not the end of the matter. That's not all there is. There is God.
Yes. Amen.
And what man can't do, God can do.
Yes.
And what's impossible with men is possible with God.
Amen.
We believe in doctors. We believe in medicine. We thank God for hospitals. They've kept us alive. We're not against that. But we also know that's not everything. So our hopes and our dreams and our future and our destiny and our faith is not based on what they say. Our faith and hope and dreams based on God's Word. Hello?
Amen.
Hello? So he says the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. If that's all there is and that's all there was and that's all of our hope, then we're without hope and without God. Stick the fork in, we're done. But that's not all there is. That's not all of our hope. That's not all the information. That's not the whole truth. It's just part of the truth. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he, their foolishness unto him, neither can he know. Everybody say, know them.
Know them.
Do you know that's a form of the same word where Jesus said he perceived in his spirit?
Yes.
Kenosko. Kenosko is the perceiving in his spirit. Kenosko. Gnosko is the Greek word here translated know. What Jesus said, I know, I apprehended and understood, he knew in his spirit. But the natural man cannot apprehend. He cannot perceive. He cannot know. Nor can he apprehend the things of the Spirit of God. Because you don't apprehend the things of the Spirit of God by your thinking in the natural. You do it by what you know in the Spirit. You know it. You know it in the Spirit.
Amen.
You know it on the basis of God's Word. There's a difference between thinking, reasoning, and knowing and perceiving. Ooh, hallelujah. You know, there's some things I just know. And what I know, I don't question.
Amen.
See, what I know, I don't question.
Come on.
Well, do you think you're saved? No, I don't think I'm saved. I know I'm saved.
Yeah. Amen.
And I don't question that.
Right.
I don't lay awake at night trying to figure all that out. Oh, the thought may come. I just push it out of the way. I know I'm saved.
Amen.
I know I'm saved.
Amen.
I have the witness within myself. Ooh, hallelujah. So he says, the natural man sees not things of the Spirit of God, neither they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned or understood. You are not going to figure the things of God out in your mind until you come to God with your mind. Are you with me? Until you reason with Him. But you're trying to figure out God with a faculty or a function that has no ability to figure God out with. That's like trying to see with your hands. I can't see with my hands. My eyes see, my hands feel. My heart believes, not my head. So if I'm standing in faith about something, it doesn't have anything to do with my head. It's my heart. It's having come to Him and let Him fill me with His Word. And then I have this knowing. I have this perception, perceiving I know. And when you got that, you got it. You can be like that parrot. You know. You know. You can say what you want to, but you know. And there's some things, you know what? There's some things I just know.
Yes. Amen.
Argue all you want to. I know. No. No. I'm sorry. I know. Amen.
Amen.
And I know that by the Spirit of God. Sure.